What makes ScoMo the perfect fodder for something like comedy?
I think because he is comedy almost. Like if you look at it, and I've said this before, but he just keeps proving it to me. He is a sitcom prime minister. Like everything that he could do wrong, he does wrong in the funniest way possible. And I'd like, if I had to pick one person that I would compare him to out of all of history, out of all media, it would have to be George Costanza.
I love that.
Like it's that sort of that selfish, conniving kind of sneakiness that combined with so much incompetence around it. So he's like, he's always out for himself and he's always trying to win, but he does it in such a clumsy way that you can't help but laugh.
You truly would. I was listening to a podcast yesterday. It was a current affairs podcast, but they were diving into the life of Scott Morrison, his early life in particular. And one thing I didn't realise was that he actually was more or less like a child actor. His mum and dad got him into theatre at a really early age, and he had an agent. And it was just a really, it kind of made a lot of sense in a lot of ways when I discovered that. The book, of course, starts with Morrison as he takes on the prime ministership, and it ends with an entry around about late February 2020 with him saying something along the lines of, "My prediction is, nothing's really going to happen in the world over the next few years." And of course, something did happen. The pandemic happened and a lot of other things as well. And I believe the pandemic kind of hit about a month or two into writing. What was that like?
Well, it definitely made things easier because I had a lot of extra time all of a sudden. So we were filming, I don't even know which season it would have been, maybe season 12 or 11 of Mad as Hell at the time. And then they approached me and said, "Do you want to write this book?" And I went, "Oh, I don't know if I've got time. I'll say yes, but I don't think it's going to be very long because I don't have a lot of time." And then the pandemic happened and all of the location, we still did the studio stuff, but all the location work suddenly disappeared. All the other work around it disappeared. Mm. Suddenly my diary was very open. It helped that. And it also made me sort of angrier. And so as the book goes on, it probably gets a bit mean as it goes on, but like in a funny way and in a holding people to account kind of way. But yeah, it definitely made me angrier and sort of I'd get up every morning and be like, right, what's he done today? Nothing. And I'd just furiously bash away as many jokes as I possibly could about him. And look, and everyone else in Parliament as well. It's not just sort of a dig at him. It's a dig at, well, both sides, and a dig at just the standards that we've got at the moment. Like I do look at who we've got, and I just go, "Oh, really?" Like,
yeah.
If we had to pick out of all the people in Australia, there's what, 25 million of us. That's the best that we've got in terms of running the country. These people that don't necessarily want to run the country, they just want to have the job of running the country, and their job is sort of to make sure they keep their job instead of doing things to make the country better. It's like, what is going on?
Yeah, I'm with you. It's definitely, punching up. And like you mentioned, you've got ScoMo's best mate, Donald Trump, in there as well. Mm-hmm. Jacinda Ardern makes an appearance and other notable politicians. Tony Abbott in his budgie smugglers, running Baywatch style down Parliament House corridors is something that is just seared into my brain now. just brilliant stuff. And speaking of illustrations, I know you worked with Andrew Weldon on this, brilliant illustrator. But of course, it would probably have required quite the collaboration to have, the words that and the humour and the jokes that you've taken and putting them into pictures. What's it like working with an illustrator, especially on something like this?
Well, there was very little sort of guidance really required from me. I wrote the manuscript, so I wrote all the words and then gave it to him, and he filled it in with a bunch of illustrations, and every one that he sent me I was just like, well, that's perfect,
right? Yeah,
like any notes on these, and I'm like, just none, like you've nailed it every single time he drew a picture. The one thing he did tell me though, which I found very funny, is when he does political caricatures and cartoons and things, he usually sort of looks for one or two facial features where he's like, "Oh, okay, I can exaggerate that, or I can hone in on that," because that's what people recognize when you say, "Oh, that's that person." You just instantly recognize it, even though it's a little black and white line drawing. you see, like, maybe Morrison's mouth, his sort of half smirk, half frown thing that he does, where he looks a bit like a frog, and you go, oh, that's obviously Scott Morrison. When he had to draw Peter Dutton, he said all of the human features that you normally look at to exaggerate and use to create a caricature just weren't there on his head. It's like, I don't know how to draw this man. He doesn't have a face.
Oh, that is just classic. The picture of ScoMo on the front, it's just uncanny. But it's like, yeah, it's that caricature style drawing where you accentuate those features that, you know, you're drawn to in real life.
Sort of smug. It's self-satisfied, but at the same time, disdainful. And look, he looks down his nose at you. So Stephen Hall does a character based sort of on someone like him called Donald McEngadine on Mad as Hell. And it's that sort of lean back and look down your nose at somebody while smiling, but at the same time you're doing a smile where the corners of your mouth turn down instead of up. I don't know how to do it, and I don't know how he does it, but it is unnerving, and you just feel judged. You feel like, oh, this person doesn't like me, but they like themselves a lot.
How informed do you need to be to write a book about the Prime Minister? Was there like a research process? Did you have to watch a lot of, you know, keep up to date with the news and watch 7:30 and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, well, the good thing about it is that the good thing about the internet especially is that everything that you ever do is recorded forever. If you are the Prime Minister, there is nothing that you can do that will not be sitting on a news site if I just type in the date. So, and then being a diary, all I had to do was type in into the Google Scott Morrison, and then that date. And then there would just be an itinerary of all the things that he'd done that day, all the things that he was dealing with, all of the scandals that he was trying to avoid. And every time I did it, I would be like, oh, I forgot he did that.
Yeah, the shoe thing?
He photoshopped his shoes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I cannot believe that he did that. And I knew, and it was so funny at the time, but he's done that much stuff since that I forgot all about it. And I think that's probably the biggest thing about this book is when you read it, it's like reading it afresh because he's done so much in the 2 years since it ends, the end point of it, that you just forget all of it.
Yeah, you really do. We're having a conversation in the office about how just shit politicians do could be an excellent quiz night category just because of, like, even the egging of Fraser Anning is in there as well. Stuff like that you just forget about that is just so absurd.
To be fair, I think it's pretty good that people are forgetting that Fraser Anning exists. Never again, but also let's just not talk about
Let's not go there again, yeah, for sure. I think Australians, you know, I'm having a good time right now, but we do share a love of ripping into our Prime Minister. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I do worry that that's sort of going away now. People are becoming so rusted onto the political parties. It's like, well, whoever our leader is has to be completely perfect, and I will make an excuse for anything they do because I can't possibly show any hint of weakness on their behalf. And it's like, well, no, but that's how you end up with rubbish people in the top jobs. That's how you end up with George Costanza as Prime Minister because you go, well, no, he's our guy, so he has to be good. Everything he does is good. It's like, well, no, just ask for better. Like, you should want better, and you should be ripping into these people because what kind of a person wants to run the country? That's nuts. Like, you wouldn't be mates with them, so why are you protecting them?
Yeah, it's such a good point. And, you know, this might be a little bit too dark for a Tuesday morning, but I'll ask it anyway, I guess. You know, like we were just mentioning, it's a sign of a pretty healthy democracy that we can publish a book like this and read a book like this that just completely lampoons the Prime Minister. But I can't help but think, you know, Russia is currently in a war with Ukraine and the situation over there. As a comedian, do you ever think about what it would be like to live in a place where there is so much political instability?
Yeah, I think it'd be terrifying. But also, if I lived in Ukraine and as a comedian, I'd probably be the leader of that country. But no, yeah, I does sort of. I feel very lucky to be able to do this. Like, I feel very lucky to be able to jump on Twitter and be like, I don't think Scott Morrison's actually very good, and not have the secret police banging at my door. And maybe there's some people in Parliament that wish it was the other way because they get quite upset and then they sue people and they go, well, you're not allowed to say anything about me. And they're trying to put through legislation where, because our defamation laws are pretty bad as well. Like that's the other thing. Like half the stuff that I had to take out of the book were jokes, and they were very clearly jokes, but half the stuff that I took out, if it was published in America, it had all stayed in. And it's just sort of like, well, you deal with it. Now defamation laws are so sort of tight and strict that even the truth isn't an excuse. And so, yeah, I'm sure that with the legislation where they're trying to publicly fund lawsuits against people on social media for trolling people, it's like, okay, no, just let people make jokes about you. Like, if you're getting paid $500,000 a year in taxpayer money, you can take a few hits.
Yeah.
Like, it just depresses me.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, we could have a whole other 3-hour interview about defamation in this book, I think. I would be really interested to know what didn't make it.
It did go through lawyers, and so everything that's in the book, I don't think this is an appropriate title for what's in the book, but the legal definition of what's in the book is vulgar abuse. Which is just like insulting and mocking and teasing people and making fun of them, making jokes about it. But it's basically a roast book, really.
Yeah.
If you read it, it's a big, long roast.
It's a big burn book for big ScoMo burn book, yeah. Before I do let you go, Tosh, I did read this over the weekend when it was announced that Australia would be going to the polls later this month, which gave the book, I think, just a different tone. What can readers take away from the ScoMo Diaries as they prepare to go to the polling booth later this month?
I think it's just a nice reminder to yourself at who one of these candidates is. And actually, who all the candidates are, really. Like, there's so many people in the book that you go, okay, let's just not forget. And also, give it a read. My pitch for people, if people want to buy it, if you don't want Scott Morrison to win the election, I would say buy this book and make it very popular and talk about it to everyone and give it to everyone. Buy it as presents for your friends and embarrass him by having such a compendium of mockery out there and popular. But if you do want Scott Morrison to win the election, I would say buy the book because putting his name at the top of the book charts really helps sort of put him in people's the front of people's minds. So whichever way you go, buy the book and buy many copies of it.
Yeah, just like buy it. Yeah. Just buy all the copies. Give them out to all your mates, your dogs and your cats. Thank you so much, Tosh.